today on Real Life Radio.
I pray he comes back today, don't you? But if he doesn't, there could be persecution come to America. People hate Christians. It's increasing. But hey, I would rather die for him I know than die for something I could never know. And my question to you this morning is, who do you know, and does he know you?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. You're not even going to have to pay for parking. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2. You know, this series we're doing on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as really only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue chapter 17, we'll consider God's kingdom in light of Bible prophecy. You see, a question's often asked of Jesus while he was here on earth, is the kingdom of God near? It's the question, quite frankly, that every generation seems to ask itself. The interesting thing is, the answer to this question is even broader than we may think. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that after the rapture of the church from the earth, Jesus will return to establish his kingdom. Still, this one question remains. With the kingdom of God so near, will you come to Jesus before it's too late? Now, with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Is the kingdom of God near? Verses 34 to 36 teaches us that he comes in the days of the great tribulation period. Jesus Christ is going to return at the end of the great tribulation in what is called the second coming. You have homework in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. That's your homework. The Bible tells us there that the Son of God will return at the end of the seven-year tribulation period in great glory to establish his kingdom. But what does that look like, and what are the things surrounding it? Verse 34 says, mark it, he's telling us that he's going to gather all tribulation survivors together. Now, at this point, verse 34, I need all of you. I cannot tell you how much I need your attention. This part from verses 34 to 37 is the least taught on portion of Scripture, avoided by ministries all around the world because it is ignorantly misunderstood. It doesn't need to be this way. I will save you about $10,000 if you pay attention for the next 20 minutes. If you're going to go to seminary to learn this stuff, you'd spend about 10 grand. So it's free. But I need you to think and listen. This is very serious stuff because beginning at verse 34 to 37, many churches and many Christians think that the description before us is the rapture. It is literally the opposite. It's not the rapture. You say, Jack, I've heard it taught as the rapture. Well, you've been taught wrong. This is not the rapture. Hang on to your seats. Take out your pen. Get ready. Jesus Christ comes in the days of the great tribulation, and he will gather all tribulation survivors, simply survivors, believers and non-believers, that make it through the tribulation period. He's going to gather them before him. He says in verse 34, I tell you, there will be, read your Bible carefully, two in one bed. The one will be taken, the other one will be left. Everybody looking at your Bible? Yes. In your Bible, if you have a good Bible, do you have italicized the word men? Some Bibles don't have men in there. Some Bibles have the word italicized. The King James translators put men in there. Guess what? In the Greek, the original Bible, it doesn't appear. It's not gender sensitive. It simply reads this way. I tell you, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other one left. Mark that down. Two will be in one bed. Jesus is given warning that there is going to be a time when someone will be left and someone will be taken. The question is going to come, where are they taken? He'll answer that at the end. Make a note, Revelation 19, verses 15 to 16. It's regarding the second coming, not the rapture. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. Jesus, when he returns, is going to judge the world. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. That means he will bring the world under his control. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, the second coming. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When does this event happen? At the second coming. When's the second coming? At the end of the tribulation period. What else happens? Look at verse 35. He will separate tribulation believers from unbelievers. Believers from unbelievers. Now, this has nothing to do. Are you guys with me? Yes. Give me some feedback. Are you there? This has nothing to do with the church. This is with tribulation believers. The church is already raptured. The 144,000 Jews recorded in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14 are preaching the gospel around the world. The Bible says that from their preaching, 144,000 of these Jewish, the Bible says they're Jews, they're men, Hebrew speaking, and they're virgins. Thank you. So, is it? Can I do it? Well, are you a virgin man, Hebrew speaking, from one of the 12 tribes of Israel? They're going to be proclaiming the word of God during the tribulation period. And the Bible says the number of those that come to know Jesus Christ from their preaching is a number so great that no man can number them. In fact, if you read the Bible carefully, much of the Islamic world will come to faith in Jesus during that period of time. Amazing. The land of Assyria and Egypt and Arabia will trust Christ. Amazing. But when he comes back, he's going to separate the believer from the unbeliever. Look at verse 35. I tell you, two will be grinding together. The one will be taken. The other one will be left. Are you with me? Mark this. Matthew 25 addresses this issue. Verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. That's the second coming. He's going to sit upon the throne of David, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25. You are not going to be on that group of people. You won't be there. This has nothing to do with the church. Listen to this. Verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the millennial kingdom that Christ will reside over when he comes back in the second coming. Jesus is going to return. Not in the rapture. That's not a return. That's an appearance. Read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18 regarding the rapture. This is the second coming. And when he returns, the Bible says that the world will see him and they will mourn and cry and say, mountains and hills, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. You thinking sweet baby Jesus is coming back? Oh no. The Bible says that when he comes out of heaven and descends to earth, it says there that his face is so brilliant and bright that the moon and the sun will flee from his presence. That's awesome. The second coming. He will separate the sheep from the goats. In Joel chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You have to decide who will be your Lord. Somebody will be your Lord. Best to decide now, by the way. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to wait and see if all this stuff pans out, then I'll decide. Hey, when do you buy tickets to a concert? Before the concert or after the concert? What are you, crazy? I don't believe you. I'm just going to wait and see how it all turns out. Listen, the Bible says today's the day that you should decide. Now's the time, so do it. And then read the fine print. In 2 Thessalonians, it says that those who had the opportunity to accept Christ and didn't will be sent strong delusion so that they will not. Now's your moment. Well, I'll wait till the concert's over to buy a ticket. What are you, a dope? Nobody does that. You get the ticket before it happens. Come to Christ before it's too late. Amen. Call out to Jesus. Ask him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to know you, Lord, personally, before it's too late. This is very, very important. He will establish, look at verse 36, he will establish his kingdom on earth in the second coming. Two will be in the field. One will be taken. The other one will be left. You know how we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, what? Thy kingdom come. Did you know? How many of you ever prayed that prayer? You ever prayed that prayer? Did you know what? Do you know what you mean when you pray it? Thy kingdom come. Did you know that when you say thy kingdom come, you're asking the Lord to come back for the second coming? That's what it means. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, come now in your second coming to establish your kingdom. That's what it means. The Bible tells us when Christ returns in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. You think it's a Christmas verse. It is, but it's more than that. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7. And of the increase of his government, by the way, that hasn't happened yet. It's coming. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forth, even forever, for the zeal of the Lord will perform this. You guys, Isaiah 9:6 has happened. Isaiah 9:7 is the second coming and the events of it. It's awesome. Christ is going to return, and he has to return to sit upon the throne of David, which is in Jerusalem. That's why there's a battle over Jerusalem. Satan does not want that to happen.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Here's a little bit of a punchline before we get to the final point. Did you happen to notice something? One will be taken, the other one will be left. I want you to look real careful at your Bible. Look at verse 36. Two men will be in the field. When do you work in the field? Do you work in the field at night? Nope. Do you work in the field necessarily early morning? No, could be dark. You work in the field during the day. Are you with me? That's important. Look at verse 35. I tell you, two will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other one will be left. In Israel or in the Middle East, when you grind meal for the day, the meal is harvested earlier on. You grind it that morning, usually early hours of the morning, to prepare the meal for the day. Are you with me? So now we got working in the fields during the course of any time during daylight. Now you've got early morning, possibly dark early morning hours to the twilight morning, dawn of the morning. And then look at verse 34. What does it say? I tell you, there will be two in one bed. What? When do you go to bed? In the night. See, what are you saying? When the second coming happens, the earth is still round. There's a 24-hour period. When Christ returns, the Bible says every eye will see him at his coming. And the Bible says that he will come from the area of Kuwait, Basra, eastward, or westward, I should say, coming out of the east. And the Bible says his foot will touch the Mount of Olives. That's just east of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. And he will descend, the Bible tells us, onto or at the Temple Mount area. In great detail, the Bible lays that out in the Old Testament. Awesome. We know Christ's flight path when he returns. It's laid out in the book of Isaiah. When he comes back, he will sit upon the throne of David. But in that event, it will affect people wherever they dwell in the world. And the judgment will begin. The book of Daniel chapter 12, I know I'm giving you a lot of homework, but Daniel chapter 12 tells you that for a space of 45 days, Jesus Christ will judge the world from his throne in Jerusalem. It will take 45 days to do all this. That's absolutely amazing. Why is that important? Zechariah 14:5. Zechariah 14:5 says, and you, Israel, shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee like when you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord, listen, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. Second coming. And it shall come to pass in that day that, the light shall not be clear. In other words, wherever you're at in the world, if it's daylight for you, it's going to be obscured. Or the dark, so the dark's not going to be totally dark. There's going to be some light in the dark. There's going to be some darkness in the light. Something radical has happened. Nor shall it be night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Zechariah 14, 5 through 7 is speaking about a radical event that when the Lord comes back with his saints, it's going to affect the entire pattern of light around the world at any given time. Some sleeping, some working, some preparing for the day. Point 6, and we wrap it up. It's verse 37, and we'll be over. Here it is. This is it. This is awesome. He comes in the days of great judgment, the judgment of God. Look at verse 37. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Take your pen, circle the word body. The word body here in Greek is an amazing word. It means this. It means rotting, dead, decaying flesh. We would say roadkill. You say, "Well, yeah, but some people have said this is the church." Yeah, you've been told wrong. The church is never referred to as a rotting, stinking, dead corpse. Wherever the body is, look at the next line. There the eagles will be gathered together. Doesn't that sound nice? Body, eagles. We love eagles. We're America. Eagles are cool. The only problem is that's not the word. In our Western world, we use the word vulture. The word technically that's used is griffin. Doesn't matter. It's an unclean, flesh-eating bird that only eats dead stuff. Eagles do not eat dead stuff. Eagles kill stuff and eat it. Vultures will eat stuff off the road. See, what is this important? Because many people will say, "Oh, look, the rapture's at the end of the tribulation period." Because look what it says. All this stuff's going on, and then one will be taken, the other one will be left. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Are you with me? And they use this verse 37 to say, and look, where the body is, the body of Christ. There the eagle, I really meant to, eagles meant to say eagle. The Lord's the eagle. That's where we're all gathered together to him. Ladies and gentlemen, that is biblical mutilation. Wherever the flesh-eating, unclean birds are gathered together to eat rotting, decaying flesh is where these are taken. This is not the rapture. Whoever is taken away is taken to death, taken to judgment, taken to destruction. This is not the rapture. It's the events that Christ executes at his second coming. Now, we in the church will miss all that. I mean, we'll miss it. We won't be here. We'll be coming with him. Revelation chapter 19. Read it later. But I got to give you this. This is amazing. Jesus Christ returns to punish evil on earth. The Bible requires it. Isaiah 26, 21. "Behold, the Lord is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins." Ladies and gentlemen, the church, you and I as believers, where were our sins punished? On the cross. These are cross-rejecting people. These are Christ-rejecting people. They would not have the cross in their life. They would not accept Jesus. And their time's run out. And the Bible says that God will return and punish them for the sins that they've committed. Isaiah 26, 21. It should come up on the screen any time now. Isaiah 26, 21. Very important. Now watch this. He's going to punish the earth for its evil. They're going to be taken away and destroyed. Ezekiel 39, 17. "Thus says the Lord, speak to every sort of bird, to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I'm sacrificing for you, a sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel." Isaiah 34, 1. "Come near, you nations, to hear and to take heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all that has come forth from it. For the wrath of the Lord is against all nations," that's in the second coming, "and his fury against the armies, for he has utterly destroyed their armies." When's that going to happen? Armageddon. The second coming happens at the end of Armageddon. "He has given them over to the slaughter. Also, their slain shall be thrown out, and the stench of their rotting corpses shall arise." Revelation 19, we're almost done. Revelation 19, 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the air, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, of the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who ride upon them, the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. He calls the birds to come and eat those that are judged. See, Jack, this is really gross. I know it's gross, but it's needful. Don't be deceived anymore on this. He's coming also, Jesus Christ returns to judge the nations. The Bible says in Revelation 19:5 that he will come and strike or judge the nations. Judgment he brings in the second coming. Jesus in Luke 17 is speaking finally of this. Jesus returns to rule the world. The Bible says, and I'll leave you with this. This is another Christmas verse. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel spoke to Mary and says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That has not yet happened. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That has not yet happened. When Jesus spoke in Luke 17, he says, listen, this is the way it's going to be. The kingdom of God must first come within you for it to benefit you. But know this, the kingdom of God will come someday. And when it comes, it will be the events of the tribulation period, the 7-year period of time marked out in the Bible. And Jesus said, if he would not return, there would be no flesh left upon the earth. He will come. So Jack, how close are we? Well, we know this. We are at least 7 years away. We know that. I don't know how close we are, but know this, before the second coming can ever happen, the rapture has to happen first.
Amen.
That's very clear in the Bible. So here's what it is. Today you can sit here, man, this is scaring me. Well, it shouldn't scare you. It should prepare you. Well, I don't want to go through that 7-year stuff. Well, listen, if you belong to Jesus, you will not go through that 7-year stuff. Here's the point, man. If you don't know Jesus today, you better know him now. You need to get to know him now before it's too late. Coming to church is not going to get you into heaven. You need to know him personally. I'm living for this, for the Lord to come back any moment. If he doesn't come back, look, the world's going crazy. You see, Jack, he's going to come back before it gets real, real rough here, right? No, not necessarily. I hope he comes today, but what if he doesn't come for the next couple of months, couple of years? What are you asking that for? You mean he's going to come right before we have, like, what if somebody persecutes us and we die? That could happen. But he's going to come first, right? Not necessarily. Are you ready to live for him? Are you ready to die for him? I pray he comes back today, don't you?
Yes.
But if he doesn't, there could be persecution come to America. People hate Christians. It's increasing. But hey, I would rather die for him I know than die for something I could never know. And my question to you this morning is, who do you know, and does he know you? Father, we come to you this morning and we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, this same Jesus who spoke these incredibly prophetic words of the future also said that he would go to the cross and die and 3 days later be risen from the dead. That if a man or a woman today would believe in him, he would not perish, but have everlasting life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because I know I'm like you. You're like me. Are you weary? Do you get wearied? Do you get tired? Does it feel at times that the wind has been knocked out of you? I think if we're all honest, we can admit that, man, yeah, being a Christian is not easy in this world. But I want to give you some encouragement by virtue of the fact that Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great author, a great pastor who's now in heaven, wrote a book called In Praise of Plodders. In Praise of Plodders. A plodder is somebody who just keeps going. And if you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together. In Praise of Plodders, this current featured book, please get a copy of it today.
In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe. You can pick it up for a gift to the ministry of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.